The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, let's do it right now. The big shot of the night, brought to you by myself, Keith McPherson. New York City, you know what they say. Bright lights, big city, a lot of big shots. And the big shot of the night is going to Polar Bear Pete Alonso, papered up Petey. He came through tonight on a night where they did not have Francisco Lindor, on a night where Juan Soto didn't do any driving in of runs, but he got on. And that's the thing. He's going to get on. Luis Angel Acuna is going to get on. Jose Siri. I don't know. Starling Marte might get hit by a pitch. 3-2 count, fifth inning. Pete Alonso wasn't letting that one get by him. Cal Quantrill, sorry about it, buddy. That's a grand slam. That's his fourth grand slam of his career, his first home run of the season, and he's 25 homers away from tying Darryl Strawberry as the Mets' all-time leader in home runs. Pete Alonso, Polar Bear Pete, your big shot of the night. 888-808-1019. Like I said, again, stepped up in the absence of Lindor. Obviously struggled a little bit in Houston. Forget about the Houston series. Bases loaded. You pitch to him. He makes you pay. Goes Oppo. Did I forget that? Oppo Taco. Do that more. And you feel good about where Pete is. That effectively, in my opinion, ended the game. Seven runs in that fifth inning. They tack on two more in the sixth, and that's all they would need. 888-808-1019. Jake is in Ledgewood on the fan. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good. You know, just minus the whole sinuses and allergies thing, but, like, that's not going to make me call out. I'm here. I'm good.
Hey, I hear you, brother. So I got 2 points I want to bring up. I want to bring up the NL East and the NL West. Okay. You got San Diego and the Dodgers. They're phenomenal. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
And then you got what about the Braves? They're 0-5. So I just want to hear your what you got with those guys.
I'll say this because Josh and Passaic was kind of leaning into that too. I always used to say in the NBA, don't tell me anything about the standings in November. Like, I used to hate when people would be like, look at the stand, and it's like, it's so early. What I'll say is we're going off of last year, right? And I mean, the Dodgers and the Padres had a great NLDS against each other. We expect them to be great, and so far, so good. They look great. 6-0, 5-0. Dodgers are 6-0, Padres are 5-0. But then when you look at the Braves, who struggled a bit last year and have injuries, and now they get hit with the Jerickson Profar news, they're 0-5. They can't buy a win.
Gee,
they're trying to buy bats.
I got Profar on my fantasy team.
That sucks. It's like, when'd you draft him?
Exactly.
You waste a pick on a guy that ends up being out for 80 games. It's not even worth stashing.
Exactly. I didn't know that at the time.
Right. Neither did they when they paid him. But, yeah, what I'll say is it is super early. It's super early. It's super early. But these games do count. So we can't act like the math doesn't count. Like, they could end up, you know, a couple games apart from being a wild card or the division winner. But yes, so far, the Dodgers and the Padres, they are who we thought they were. The Atlanta Braves, very slow out of the gate, but, you know, they know help is on the way. And the Mets are right there in the middle at 2-2. I wouldn't read too much into the first series now into the second series of the season. A lot can change in a hurry.
Hey, I got one more point to bring up. What about this guy Rafael Devers on Boston? What do you think about that? This whole thing with Bregman coming up? He's like, hey, I play third base. You know, hey, yeah, Bregman is a good third baseman.
Thanks for the call, Jake. I saw a theory today that since Gerrit Cole is out for the whole season, and Rafael Devers loves to hit off Gerrit Cole, knowing that he can't face Gerrit Cole for an entire year. He's just out of it. He's supposedly Gerrit Cole's father, knowing that his son is out for the whole season. He ain't been the same. I'm telling you guys, and I didn't play baseball past 13 years old, but a lot of the homies did. Both colleges that I went to, I hung out with the baseball players at JMU and Monmouth a lot. You on the baseball team? No, I'm on the football team. What are you doing with the baseball players? I'm like, these guys party. These guys drink. 1 year, I lived with two baseball players. When you're a baseball player, you play both sides of the ball for the most part. You're like, and when you're a baseball player growing up, you do everything. You play every position until you get to. So, like, for Devers, he you heard him when they asked him. When they signed Bregman, he said, I play third base. No. He tried to push back. He tried to tell his employer, no, I'm not going to be a DH. And they said, yes, you are. And then he changed his tune, but it is an adjustment. Y'all make a big deal over 9, 10 at-bats. And I know it's been like 12 at-bats for him now. Let me go check. The guy is struggling, but you know what? He is doing something that he's never done before. He is not in the flow of the game. He is not out there feeling that intensity, that alertness, that urgency of, okay, I might have to make a play on the hot corner. He's sitting in the dugout. So you sit in the dugout, and then you come out there. It's a little bit of an adjustment. The guy, we Yankee fans know, he's a hell of a hitter. Yankee fans have seen him kill us for multiple years now, but he's struggling. He can't buy a hit. Shout out to Carrabis. Carrabis was talking about how he can't figure it out. I don't care. Maybe, hopefully he has a down year. I'm not worried about Rafael Devers. Sucks to suck. That's baseball. It'll humble you quickly. But speaking of the Red Sox, this guy must have heard his name, or maybe somebody text him or something. I was waiting for Milton the Cowbell Man to call so he can so eloquently speak to, you know, what I was talking about with Red Sox fans and Mets fans. You know, hey, Milton in Brooklyn, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Nobody has to call me. Nobody has to text me. I listen to you every night. I might not call every night, but I listen to you all the time, brother. You know, much respect. Real quick on Devers, he's selling. I mean, that's a video game thing. I think 100% he's doing it on purpose. He doesn't want to play there no more. These Dominican guys are very sensitive, and he's the third baseman, and you bring in this white guy, and they put him at third base. He's going to think it's a racial thing. I'm telling you right now, he's doing it on purpose. He's doing it absolutely. Yeah, he's absolutely 100% in my mind doing it on purpose, and I don't care. Let's move on. Right. What the hell with this Red Sox? Anyway, unless he comes to the Yankees, but that's near here or there. As far as what you were bringing up, I heard you. Like I've always said, listen, you know, growing up as a Yankee fan and the rival, the quote unquote rivalry, because it was always us winning. They didn't win for 80 years. You know, it was this dumb hating passion. I mean, I had friends that went to Boston and old ladies threw cans at them in supermarkets if they had a Yankee hat on. I mean, it was a hatred for us. Okay, and then when they finally won, then they won, and then you know what? Now you go over there, they shake your hand, hey, you're a Yankee fan, you know, they hug, you know, let's have a good game today. It's not the same like it used to be because they finally released, if you know what I mean. So the bottom line is, I do want to see the Mets fans have that, let it go, get over this big brother thing, because you know what, we don't care about it, you shouldn't care about it, you should worry about your division, you should be worried about championships. Just because you get Soto and this and that doesn't mean that you won anything. And they're just going to always hate. They're always going to, you know, do this. And then these Yankee fans, there's some of you dumb Yankee fans that want to troll. Everybody, if the super troll is on red alert, and it's because the people on WFN, this host out there, we know who, that want to troll for 6 months that they're getting Soto. You know, they want to just keep bringing it up. They want to just keep, you know, picking at us. And they expect, and now they're begging us to stop. Because every time something happens now, because they better win a championship now, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this thing about all this and that. No, you got your owner that spends all the money. You stole the greatest, you know, player of all time from the Yankees, and you guys are the big brother. So now you guys have to win the World Series or else it's a failure. Okay, so if you want to be the big brother, that comes with, you know, putting on the big boots, coming to the big room, coming to the table, and having that responsibility and expectations that they're going to have to get used to. So people are going to lash back at people who trolled for 6 months. I'm sorry. We're not going to stay quiet. And it's nothing about get over it. You lost. Get over it. It's not. We are over it. But we're not going to get over your fat mouth trolling for 6 months and think that we're going to stay quiet. So that's where that's at.
Great point, Bill. And I'll jump in and give you a second to breathe. You know, they had it coming. What did you think when the games didn't matter? And you were talking all tough about winning the offseason, celebrating like you won the World Series off of signing a player. You. When you lose and you get one hit, when you can't beat the Astros, you lose your first series. People are dancing on your grave as if it's the last series of the regular season.
And and it doesn't matter. These are the first three games. We know we're not dumb Yankee fans. We know it's the first six, seven games. We know the Mets. To me, the Mets are like a 90% chance they're going to make the playoffs. Soto is going to be a great player for you. But when you do this, there are going to be people who are going to just get back at you for, you know, just for, you know, just to get back at you.
But like what you also said, and this is what I said too, you said they're at the big boy table. I said you're swimming in a big kid's pool. This comes with the territory, being mocked. As Yankee fans, we're used to everybody pulling up to drink our tears. We're used to every time we lose, everybody wants to come in, helicopter in, and say, ha-ha. It's like the Met fan is like, hey, like, leave us alone. It's the first three games. So what? We lost the series. We always lose. Yeah. Well, you're not allowed to lose like that now. Like, you got to accept that you're in the big boy pool at the big boy table. You're supposed to win.
Yeah, the Yankees lost the World Series. The next day I walked to work with my Yankee hat on, Yankee jacket. How could you wear that? What do you mean, how could I wear it? It's the greatest franchise in all sports. We made the World Series. Okay, we lost to the Dodgers. You know what? The only game that pissed me off was the first game, not bringing in Hill. That's when the series was over right there. It was over
Bro,
right there.
Every time we see Tim Hill pitch, that's the one thing I'll say about this season. Because Tim Hill has been good so far this early part of the season. Yeah. It makes you think about, why didn't we go to him on game one?
That was it. The series is over right there. Now, as far as these bats are concerned, hello, people. Hello, world. Hello, Twitter, X. Hello, everybody. These bats have been around forever. This is not new. The Cubs had it last year. Bellinger had it last year. Lindor used it in the first series. There was a guy in 1954 that had a bat like that. These are not new bats. What is going on here? I mean, people
social
are mad.
Media.
You know why, Keith? You know why they're mad? Because they want the Yankee fans to be upset. First of all, we are upset. People have to understand we wanted Soto to come back. But the bottom line is, the fact is that him leaving made this team more balanced, more speed, better defense. And God forbid if we get a third baseman, like we get Arenado, it's a wrap. So this team is continuing to be the big bad Yankees even without Soto. People are pissed. They're mad. Mets fans are mad because we're still out there rocking. We're still going to be
the greatest.
That's
what it is. They thought the King was dead.
Matter. Yeah. They're right.
We left you for dead.
Right. Come on, man. If any franchise in sports could lose somebody like Soto and still come out there cocky, that's us. You know, 95% of the other teams lose a guy like that, they're in shambles, and they're not making the playoffs for the next 5 years. But you know what? That's going to turn around, and it's going to make us bigger, better, and stronger. And I'm not saying that we're winning the World Series. I'm not claiming this beginning is going to be like this all the time. I'm not dumb. I'm just saying, people, we are here. We're here to stay. We're ready to represent. And I don't care what anybody says. This is a playoff team, and I am excited to see what's going to happen. I love Bellinger. Bellinger's my guy, bro. I told you, that guy is
He's a baller, bro. I've been paying close attention to him. He balls out.
He's just a perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you, this guy, we just got to figure out third base, man. I really would love to get Arenado. And just before I go, man, let's go Jets. Justin Fields, baby. Let's go.
Thanks for the call, Millen. 888-808-1019. As I'm in here looking at Woody Johnson, and Woody Johnson got an F grade when they did all the reviews with the players, and Woody's looking like, that doesn't make any sense. We'll talk about the Jets. I'll try and get a little bit of Jets and Giants in from these guys speaking. It's like I don't care what you say at this point. Baseball has started. We have real baseball games to talk about. We don't need to talk about what you might do in the draft or how you're moving in silence and whatever. Like, it just doesn't move the needle. Rami?
Oh, yeah. I mean, about the Jets, that for sure. I fully agree with you. You were talking about Devers earlier, and he also mentioned a point about, I love what he said when he called it the big boy table for the Mets. It's like when you're 12 years old and you're telling your parents, I want to sit at the adult table. I want to sit at the adult table. And the first time you sit at the adult table, you spill a drink on grandma.
Yep.
And then, like, back to the kids' table.
But that's great. The same thing with the big boy pool. Yep. It's exactly. Deep over here. Can you swim in these waters?
Exactly.
You sure you ready? Jump off that diving board.
What I just sent you, though, was the Rafael Devers thing. He is so late on these pitches, and he just said it on the line. Like, it sounds like, it looks like he's selling on purpose. Like, is he pulling a James Harden with the fat suit in Houston? Like, is he trying to get out of there because he's mad at how Alex Cora handled the Bregman situation? Because Rafael Devers, that good a hitter, doesn't swing at a slider right down the middle at 91 miles an hour when it's already hit the catcher's glove.
Well, Heim Bloom told him he's their third baseman for the rest of his career.
Yeah, things change, but still, it doesn't make sense that a hitter that good is that late on these pitches. And it's not just late, he's throwing his arms at it. It looks like a kid who's never swung a bat before on some of these swings. And it doesn't make sense to me that a hitter at the caliber of Rafael Devers is doing that unless it's on purpose. I watched that at-bat against DeGrom, so you could go back and watch it. It's the first at-bat, top of the first inning from, I guess it was Sunday's game against the Rangers. The first pitch is a fastball up and away at 97.
It's also DeGrom. But
I know it's DeGrom, but the first pitch is a fastball up and away at 97. If you see 97 up and away, and then the next pitch you see is a slider at 91 that didn't have a lot of bite right down the middle, it's kind of a cement mixer, there's no way you should be swinging that late at it.
Unless you're trying to tank, you're trying to get traded, unless you're pouting and you're going out there and you're not as locked in as you usually are because you're like, this is not my team anymore. They made me a DH. I don't want to just be a DH. How old is Devers? Devers is not even 30.
Yeah, he's 28.
Yeah. So this would have been the year for them to have the Netflix special. This would have been the year. Like, I think I was talking to Evan because I was listening to Evan and Tiki talk about the Apple TV Yankees Dodgers doc. He's like, you going to watch that? I'm like, I'm going to try. And then I thought about it. I'm like, hell no, I'm not watching that. And I was talking to Evan. I was like, you know what? They had the 2004 Red Sox comeback doc. I watched that for 2 minutes, and I couldn't continue. And then even with this...
Celtic City?
Nope.
Nobody's watching that. Come on.
Nah. I'm not interested in
Why
that.
Why do you think Bill Simmons is doing like a TV tour to promote it on all these different platforms? He went on Cowherd. He went on all these on Dan Patrick. If it was doing well, he wouldn't have to do a TV tour to promote it.
They're not the Lakers, bro. Like, they're not. I understand the brand of the Celtics and how much winning they've done. They're not far off from the Lakers. But, like, they're not the Lakers as far as that mass appeal. They're not the Lakers as far as, like, they could put out a fake Lakers show like they did and everybody's watching it. You could put out this Celtic City. I'm not tapping on that. I don't want to watch that. 888-808-1019. I do want to watch the Make It Happen Mets face Sandy Alcantara with Ghost Fork and Miracle Ball. Isn't that the name of his new pitch? Kodai Senga on the mound. Let's go down to Louisiana and talk to Jeff on the fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Keith. Welcome back.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I see different reasons for optimism about a number of the New York teams, but I guess it was the main reason I called in was I've been watching good-sized chunks of each of the four first Mets games, and I wanted to comment about it's encouraging to see the young defensive players on the Mets in the infield doing well. Vientos, to me, looks like he's settling in as a defensive third baseman. Nice catch, for an example, up against the stands to, reaching into the stands to catch a foul ball. Acuna today, Vientos had one go off his glove at short. Acuna backed him up, had enough arm strength to throw the guy out at first. Beatty looks like he's playing a solid second base. Tennant, that's a catcher, but he threw a guy out at second base after a strikeout through the first base.
Yep.
Through the runner out of second base, strikeout, double play. So I'm encouraged by that, and the Mets hitting today also.
Don't leave out Soto's defense. Did you see Soto's defense today?
No, I missed that. I missed the first four innings today.
He had a good play run into his left that he ran down a ball that I was like, oh, that ball is going to get by him. He had another ball that got under his glove that I saw a couple Yankee fans clip and mock, but like he had backup behind him and like it wasn't an issue. I saw him make a play going to his right and left where I was like, yo, Soto's on it. So shout out to him. Shout out to the young guys that are getting the opportunity to play. You know, as they struggled in Houston to hit, I did have a narrative in my head about, hey, you know who would have probably got a hit when you needed it? Jose Iglesias. You know who could have been playing? But like their whole thing is we don't want to pay an older guy and try and capture lightning in a bottle. We want our young guys to develop. We want to see what they have. And it's obvious that Luis Angel Acuna, he's got to play. He's just like he just looks the part. I remember seeing him last year. I'm like, oh, this is a dude. And obviously we know his blood. His brother is an MVP. But like his speed, his energy, he's got to play. He makes plays offensively and defensively. You mentioned Torrens filling in for Alvarez, him homering today. He almost hit one out in Houston. There were some people last year saying that they wanted more Torrens and not so much of Alvy because, you know, he was inconsistent. So the Mets' defense is there behind the pitching. And not for nothing, how many guys did nine strikeouts? David Peterson had nine strikeouts. So tonight was a night against the Marlins where, like, that's what you're supposed to do. You want to talk little bro, big bro? Like, the Mets are supposed to big bro the Marlins tonight, and they did.
Yeah, Philly, it was encouraging. It was encouraging to see a lot of Mets fans in the Miami stands. Although, of course, New Yorkers tend to migrate towards Southeast Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down there. I saw so many Mets fans sitting behind home plate, and then I realized, I was like, yeah, those tickets were only $150. Well, those tickets to sit behind home plate and Marlins Park, they go for less than $200.
Yes, yes. Of course, I'm an old-timer, so, you know, I saw the last game in the Polo Grounds that the Mets played. I actually got to go on the field and pick up a few gravels from the warning track.
Amazing.
A lot of things were a lot cheaper then. But I also wanted to give a shout-out to to Thibodeau. I've seen some players, not all their players, but some of their players get better under his guardianship. Like, for instance, Ananobi, for instance, he's become a more complete player in the absence of Brunson. I mean, he's become a strong finisher at, you know, driving to the basket, dunking, for just as one example. I don't know if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, that's what they pay him to be. You know, I actually was on the, I don't know if it's the Fan, but 95.7 in Rochester today, and I was talking about how, like, you know, if the Knicks get bounced in the second round, I don't think they're going to lose in the first round, but let's say they get bounced in the second round, I really hope that these players hold it down for Tibbs, because he is a huge part of why they've been successful this last, you know, 4-5 years. And, like, you know, heads have to roll. If you have another second-round exit, they're going to want somebody to get fired. They're going to want things to change. But like you just said, I just think he gets the most out of these guys. And what you're seeing without Brunson is guys having to step up and the team evolve. And what you hope is that when Brunson comes back, they don't completely revert back to, like, all right, it's your show, JB. And you also hope that JB doesn't come in and just is like, all right, it's my show. And I feel like he can't do that, because I think his ankle is going to still be compromised. He's not going to be 100%. Like, those ankles, like, how many times we get calls to WFAN? Oh, yeah, I had tennis elbow like John Carlos Stanton. Like, you're not. But, like, I sprained my ankle in, like, week four of a football season. I felt it throughout the rest of the season. Like, it's a different sport. But what I'm saying is JB is going to feel that ankle. He's going to need OG to score. He's going to need Mikal to score. He's going to need Carl Anthony Towns to score. He's going to need Josh Hart to shoot his shot. So, yeah, we'll see. Nobody knows what's going to happen. You can't predict baseball. You also have no idea what's going to happen in the NBA playoffs. Somebody gets hurt. Things don't go a certain way. Guys could get suspended. Who knows? It's a series. It's not a one-game elimination. So let's see what they got.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't want to keep you on too long. I know you got other callers, but thank you.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. You can't keep me on too long. I can keep you on too long, but I'm allowed to do that. It's about to be 1:30 in the morning. 888-808-1019. And I see some people holding and waiting, but I said we were going to get into some MLB news. So that's a good way to take us up to the break in the next 2 minutes. 888-808-1019. If there's something that happened in Major League Baseball that I did not mention, bring it to the table. We were talking about Rafael Devers. Shout out to MB Yes Sir in my chat, who said Devers 0-9 to start the year after the whole Bregman edition situation in spring training. He's 0-16, had to double check, he says. And then Rami talked about it, and Milton talked about it, and I talked about it. Before the last break, I dropped the name Roky Sasaki. Roky Sasaki did not get out of the second inning the other day. He was just struggling. And most people didn't see the outing. I didn't see the outing, but I went and checked the box score, and I saw, you know, the video of him, and he, you know, he looks teary-eyed, and I know he's 23 years old, but the amount of people... Like, we are living in the softest of times. When we come back to, I'm going to tell you a story about my son. I'm raising a young man, and like, I'm having back and forth with my wife about like being too hard on him. And I'm like, I'm not being too hard on him. I love on him. I'm not physically hitting the kid. I'm not, you know, but like, I'm stern with him because I'm teaching him how to be a man. I'm teaching him right from wrong. And like, Roki Sasaki, just be a man, bro. Just be a man. I know it's tough. You're in a new country. You're adapting to being a star, but you gave everybody the runaround. You gave everybody the runaround. The Padres, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Phillies. There were a couple teams that were interested in you just to go join Shohei and the champs. This is what you wanted, right? I remember playing the cut from Joel Wolf on The Fan during the winter meetings where they said his personality, the type of guy he is, wouldn't work in a major market. I guess they knew he was butter soft. He wouldn't have worked here in New York. The Mets wanted him too. The Yankees wanted him too. He would have wept on the mound. He would have, if he was in Devin Williams' position getting booed, he wouldn't have survived it. And so, you know, I'm getting some flack for some of my comments online, but I'm like, yo, y'all are soft. Y'all find any way to glaze the Dodgers. This is a multi-million dollar athlete in his like second start. And he's crying because he can't get out of the second inning. This is sports. There's no crying in baseball. Be better. Do your job. The check is still going to cash. You're still going to get paid for that bum outing that you put out there. And then I saw like Jonathan Lucroy and Eric Hosmer and like former players say like, yeah, hopefully someone pulled him to the side. Tell him like, nobody wants to see that, bro. We don't want to see you crying. Baseball is a game of failure. We don't want to see the starting pitcher get pulled in the second inning and be crying. The bullpen should be crying. Like, yo, these guys get paid so much money. I got no sympathy for you crying. You're weeping because you're struggling. People are struggling out here in real life. 888-808-1019. When we come back, we'll do the rest of the baseball news. I did sprinkle in an injury to Freddie Freeman. There's also
Carson
been
Kelly hit for the cycle.
Tonight? Okay, so yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll give you more information on that. Call up 888-808-1019. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this. And yo, I appreciate Judge. He tried to change this song. He tried to change this song a couple years back. Was it last year or 2023 maybe? He tried to change this song and we were like, we told him no. Nope. Nope. A Boogie featuring Pop Smoke. Hello. Just the way that those keys hit when you're in the stadium, that doom, 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 doom. You just know what time it is. MVP. MVP. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, what other lineup has three MVPs? The Dodgers had three MVPs. Mookie is back healthy, it seems. Shohei, obviously. But Freddie Freeman slipped. He tweaked his ankle, his surgically repaired ankle, entering the shower. I'll leave it at that. Whenever those things happen at home, you know what? That's funny, too. I just was thinking about it. Like, it's so early in the season. And with the Yankees, I literally pray for health. Like, when I say my prayers, and I pray that they stay healthy. And I'm like, hopefully nothing happens, like, off the field. Anything, they're human beings. Anything can happen off the field. So Freddie Freeman is down. You know who else is down? And that sets up him to miss his opportunity to get back on the mound in Citi Field. Max Scherzer. The Blue Jays place Max Scherzer on 50-day IL with right thumb inflammation. Supposedly he had a lat issue that he was talking about is definitely connected to his thumb. He was in line to pitch in Citi Field for the Queens opener, and now he's out. Well, he's old, and what do you expect when these guys get old? What else in baseball? We already talked about Jerickson Profar. We talked about Roki Sasaki. Oh, Ellie De La Cruz was on cycle alert. Ellie De La Cruz went 4-for-5 with 2 homers, 7 ribbies, 11 total bags. If you had the Ellie De La Cruz parlay, you probably hit 4 runs and a stolen base. Phenom, he is a freak. And I think he gets jiggy with those customized bats as well. Ellie De La Cruz, I think, was a triple shy of the cycle tonight. And Rami just told me somebody else who hit for the cycle.
Carson Kelly, Cubs.
Carson Kelly from the Cubs. Garrett Crochet, 6 years, $170 million. I hope he is not all that they say that he is. But if they're paying him like that, he's their opening day starter. He is. We're going to see him. We're going to see him. It is what it is. 888-808-1019. Not baseball news, but I got to give a shout out to my Devils fans. Mark was in the chat like, come on, Keith, give a shout out to the Devils. I see you. Nico Hischier, the captain, will lead us. Marky. The Devils handling the Minnesota Wild. They win 3-2 in a shootout Saturday while everybody was at Prudential Center. And the Devils were not. They beat the Minnesota Wild 4-2. And, yo, shout out to CJ Mosley, bro. I'm in the bar Saturday because we did the Reds Beer Garden watch party for March Madness, sponsored by Bud Light. You probably heard the ads for it. WFAN, we're set up outside. We have the Papa Shot set up outside. It starts raining. I come inside, and before I go inside, I'm like, yo, that's CJ Mosley. And I'm just surprised when people see celebrities or athletes or prominent people and they don't realize. But also, it's cool to leave people alone. but I made his spot hot because I'm like, yo, that's CJ Mosley. And I'm like, yo, I'm about to rap one. I'm about to get a flick. If you look at my Instagram or you look at my Twitter, I posted it. CJ Mosley's not with the Jets, but he was for these last couple years. And, you know, me not putting two and two together, I'm wearing a Duke jersey, a Sheldon Williams jersey. And I didn't go to Duke, but I just knew to wear a Duke jersey. Used to be a Duke fan, to blend in with the Duke fans at Prudential Center. And I see CJ Mosley there, and Reds is packed. And I've been there for Devils games. I know how American Whiskey Reds, that whole streak is packed out. It is dumb packed where CJ Mosley is not even in. Like, he's standing by the door. And so I pull up on him. I'm like, yo, what's good, bro? I'm like, what you doing here? He's like, well, like, one, it's the offseason. Two, I did go to Bama. And I wasn't even thinking about it. He went to Bama so long ago. I wasn't even thinking about him being a Bama alum. I'm just thinking like, yo, it's mad cool for an NFL player to be out here drinking and socializing with the people. I'm sure he doesn't live that far from Newark. I'm sure it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. He probably had good tickets in there. That's one thing I will say. I met a couple Alabama alumni in there. I didn't meet one Duke alumni. And it's funny because I was on air talking about my experience as a Duke fan when I was younger. Like, I was in college, went to the Izod Center to see Duke versus Temple. And there was this one Temple fan wearing us out. And he was, you know, sing the fight song. And he's singing the Temple fight song. He's like, not one of you can sing the Duke fight song because you didn't go to Duke. You're all a bunch of front runners. He's like, you guys didn't go to the school. Like, you realize how lame that is? He's like pointing at grown men and women and families and kids. Like, you know how lame it is that you didn't go to Duke and you raised your kids to be Duke basketball fans? Like, this guy was drunk going in. But I'm sitting like a couple rows away from him and I'm wearing my J.J. Redick jersey at the time. And I'm like, he's right. He's right. I didn't go to Duke. I love the team because of TV. Anyway, 888-808-1019. You know, the Izod Center is over there in the Meadowlands. And I'm not going to get into it, but the Giants, you know, Joe Shane, he spoke today. I just don't care what anybody says. You don't know what guys are going to do. You know, with that number three pick, they should take a quarterback, but... You know, of course, they're asking him about the signings. He said, going into it, we can go any which direction we can go and play a game right now. No, you shouldn't be playing any games, Joe Shane. He said, it doesn't force you into a corner or force you to have to take something based on need. It gives us the opportunity or it gives us the optionality to go in many different directions. Okay. I like the answer because you want to throw people off your scent. You don't want to telegraph your moves. He said, if you're talking about where we're picking, you'd like that guy to be able to be a franchise quarterback that you can win. You're winning the NFC East every year you're trying. The ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. If you're taking a guy that high, they got to be able to check those boxes. Some of you don't feel like Shedeur Sanders could be that guy. I think he could. Big Mac is in here. I was listening to Big Mac one night talk about, like, you know, Eli Manning, and as we're coming off the heels of Eli Manning not being a first ballot Hall of Famer, was Eli the most talented quarterback in the NFL every year that he played? No, never. Not one year. Was he the most athletic guy? Did he have all the intent? He had the name. He had a good college career at Ole Miss. He just was clutch. He had a slow heartbeat when it mattered the most. I think Shador has some of that. We know he has a name. Anyway, I don't have enough time. But with the Jets, I like how they're endorsing Justin Fields. But at the same time, like I heard Darren Muji endorsed Justin Fields. But then Glenn said, hey, he's QB1 and it's written in pencil. Doesn't mean Tyrod won't be on his heels. Good. Embrace competition. Iron sharpens iron. They should make each other better. I think we're going to be surprised with how dynamic Justin Fields can be. I'm going to leave it alone because I got a lot of flack for my take on that too. You know, and whatever, you're going to get flack if you have public takes and you say something that like people haven't seen and don't believe yet. But anyway, Jets and Giants, I don't think they're moving the needle. 888-808-1019. I got 10 minutes left. Let me get the rest of these calls in. Jarvis is up in Harlem. Jarvis, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I want to talk about, like, the messing Yankees. The other caller saying, like Mets fan trying to control the Yankees. I absolutely agree with him because, you know what, see, the Mets, they lucky they got to the playoffs last year. If they only got swept in the regular season against the Braves in a doubleheader on Monday, they wouldn't be in the playoffs because they didn't win the NL East. That's the reason why the division is so difficult for them. And the National League is the easy way past because the Dodgers is undefeated. Like, so how are you going to get through that? But I don't see the Mets getting to the National League championship this year. I mean, so, like, I hear Mets fans trying to control the Yankees because, like, the Yankees got to the World Series because we end that 15-year drought because the American League was easy path because we faced the Royals and the Guardians. Like it doesn't mean anything. So what? It's like, so what? We got to the playoffs. So what? We got to the World Series. We didn't win the World Series, so I don't understand. So.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I'll say this. Last year is over. These games count now. Let's focus on this year and not get too far ahead of ourselves. I know I had a take where I said, I don't think the Yankees or the Mets win the World Series. I'd love to be wrong with the Yankees. I'd love to be wrong. Them beating up on the Milwaukee Brewers, am I going to come here and say, World Series? Hell no. No. I'm also not going to come in here and say, it must be the bats. Just like, yeah, with Jordan, it must be the shoes. This is dumb. I think that they were very comfortable in Yankee Stadium, right? I saw that too. Oh, people complain about the ballpark. I'm like, this ballpark has been here since 2009. Like, why are we still talking about the ballpark? Then I saw Jake Bowers hit a short porcher. I'm like, Jake Bowers knows his way around the Bronx. He's been here before. He knows that this ballpark is available to all who take at-bats in it. It's just corny. It's just like, you know, Yankee haters, Yankee narrative. It is what it is. Can't get too far ahead of ourselves. Can't jump to conclusions. We jumped on a few topics tonight. Like I said, now I think after the Brewers got smacked in their opening day in Milwaukee, their home opener by the Royals, people were like, oh, they're trash. They're actually not good. And I was like, yeah. Nestor Cortez is their number two starter. And shout out to Nestor. Respect. I told somebody Saturday, I'm like, yo, I felt so bad for Nestor. But then the Yankees tried to give the game back. It was 4-3 before I knew it. I can't predict baseball. But with Nestor, like, some of you remember, there's some people listening. Shout out to my boy Gabe in the chat. There's some people listening that have been listening to me from the jump. Like, Nestor went out of his way to DM me. He's like, yo, me and my girl listen to your show. You're the GOAT. I'm like, nah, no way, bro. I'm like, you're the man, bro. Like, we really rock with you because you're a regular-looking dude. Remember when Nestor was seen on the subway? Nestor used to stay in Jersey. I know where he used to stay at. Like, something I said on Twitter over the weekend is Nestor Cortez is good in the Bronx forever. He's good in New York City forever. 10, 20 years from now, when someone sees Nestor, he'll be like, Nasty Nestor? Yup, it's me. Like, you're good. And even though he didn't win anything with the Yankees, he won over Yankee fans with his mustache, with his leg kicks, his timing, his cleats. And just the underdog mentality, the Hialeah kid. I hated for him that, you know, he was out there with the blonde hair, getting rocked. He's like rubbing up the ball, like he's just confused, rubbing up the ball, like that's gonna help. And it was historic. Oh, that's what I said. I was going to tell my story. That would be a good way to get out of here. So Saturday morning, I'm a fiend for the stadium. And it's like when the stadium is back open, I'm a fiend for the stadium. But like I'm older now. I have a wife. I have a son. And since I have been working this nighttime job, like we are on opposite schedules. I leave the house. They're sleeping. When they wake up in the morning, they're quiet because daddy's sleeping. And they go about their business. And by the time I get up, they're out of the house. And, you know. So Saturday comes, and I hadn't seen him because, like, I was at opening day. I did the show Thursday night. So my wife has this idea, like, the weather's nice. Like, I want to go to the park. I want to put out a blanket and, like, you know, bring food and have, like, a picnic with Jack, our son. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's get that done, I guess. I'm like, hell nah. I'm like, it's Saturday. It's about to be 77 degrees in the Bronx. Max Fried is about to be Fried Day. Like, nah, I'm just in my head. I'm like, hell nah. And something I used to say to myself when I was younger, I'm like, if you can go to the stadium, why wouldn't you go? Like, when I was young, I wanted to go to the stadium, and I could not go. I physically couldn't go. I had no transportation, no money. So I'm like, I'm sitting there Saturday. Like, I know I can drive to this stadium, and I'm monitoring the traffic. It's 37 minutes from where I live. I'm like, mmm. And so my wife's like, are you going to go to the game? And I'm like, ah. Like, I don't want to ditch you guys, but I do need to go to this game. And I had that feeling like, yo, they like, tonight, today could be, it's warm. They were just in spring training, like, I'm like, I'm not even going there to drink or link with the gang, but, like, I want to go see the game. Obviously, it's Max Fried's first start. Like, Nestor's pitching. Like, I got to go to this game. Then when the lineup came out, I'm like, bruh. I'm like, yo, I don't want to sit in the picnic, and I don't want to sit on a picnic blanket in the park. That park will be there forever. We could do that at whenever. We could do that when it's not, when the Yankees are on the road, when it's not. I'm like, it is rare. I'm like, I went. In 2021, I went to all of the Yankees home games in April, and they were freezing games. I'm like, it is rare that the second game is like, it's 77 degrees. Shout out to my boy Batista. Batista had the suite, and Batista I had talked to weeks before about pulling up to the suite, and he's like, well, I'd be seeing you today. And I'm like, I don't know, bro. I'm like, I'm trying to work on it. I'm like, my wife doesn't really want to go to the game, but then I was able to convince her because I'm like, she knows Batista. She's been in Batista's suites for years now. Shout out to Batista. He's one of the realest. You guys might see him on Twitter. You might see, like, diehard Yankee fan, season ticket holder, just blesses people and puts people in the suites. And he's literally created this, like, Yankees Twitter IRL, like, in real life community that, like, we see each other in his suites. And like, he's got the magic touch because that game was insane. But what was insane about it, too, I bring my son. My son's learning. He's like, Yankee game, baseball. And he sleeps in the car. So that was the first win where I'm like, all right, he napped in the car. But like, he napped in the car. And then once he got up, he was on 10,000. He was geeked up as soon as like, even in the line, I'm waiting in line to go in. I'm putting him down. He wants to go under the ropes. He wants to pull on somebody's jeans. I'm like, bro, get back. So I'm just holding him in my arm. Like, all right, now my inner bicep is sore from how I just was holding him. He's getting big now. And I'm like, I got to hold you because if I don't hold you, I don't know where you're going to run to or what you're going to do. And this kid's into planes, trains, and automobiles. We're outside in the line. He's just like, bam, 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 police car. Like, he's like yelling at the like cars rolling by. I'm like, this dude does not even know what's going on. Whatever. We get up to the suite. I put him in the suite. He's running around the suite. I'm like, we can't even say hi to people. This dude's doing just laps around one of the couches in the suite. And there's this metal thing that I'm paranoid. I'm like, he's going to take a wide turn. He's going to hit this. Then the ambulance, what she calls the ambulance, the am-bam-bam. I'm like, he's going to be in the ambulance. I don't want to have that issue. So then I pull him just to like a seat. I'm like, all right, let's watch the game. And, you know, they're doing the intros, and he can see the four train in the background. And so he's just like, choo-choo train, choo-choo train. But the train just, like, you see it for a little bit and then it disappears. And then he's getting upset. He's like, more train, more train, more train. And I'm like, bro, it doesn't work like that. Like, the trains run, like, you'll see it when it comes. I'm like, yo, focus, lock in on the game. And then when the game starts, it's just bum, 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 bum. It's just homer after homer. I got him in the air. I'm shaking him like a pom-pom. We're all just celebrating. But now I'm like so locked into the game. I'm like, this is historic. That never happens. And I'm like trying to watch the game. And, you know, my wife is getting annoyed. She's trying to set him up. He's watching the show now. It's called Gecko's Garage. Gecko's Garage, but the guy is like European and he calls it Gecko's Garage. And so like my wife's trying to set up Gecko's Garage for him to watch. And I'm like, to hell with that. We're at the game. We can watch the game. And he's like putting his feet up on the table. Then he's crawling around like he's a younger baby. He's like on all fours crawling. He's eating popcorn off the ground. And he's bugging out. I'm like, bro, let me check your diaper. He peed his diaper. I got to bring him into the bathroom. He's fighting me on that. I'm like, this is not fun. Like, I'm doing all this. Volpe hits a three-run bomb. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm not here. I'm like, I'm at the game, but I'm missing the game. You're banned. I'm not bringing you back here. Terrible twos. Don't do it. You think it's a fun family day, and then you end up babysitting your kid, watching your kid. Like, I would have been better off doing that at home, but I'm glad I went to the game because it was a historic game. And lesson learned, I'm like, oh, you're banned from the stadium at least till next year. You got to grow up a bit because, like, we're not doing this. You never know what could happen. You can't predict baseball. Anyway, that's my quick show for tonight. Appreciate y'all. C-Max coming up next. He'll take you through the Mets game. Maybe some more Yankee stuff. Who knows? Maybe some Jets, some Giants. I'll be listening until I can fall asleep. But that's it, man. I got to go home. We'll do the same thing tomorrow night. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That's another KM to 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Have a good one. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.